best of times, through the worst of times, through Nixon and through Bush. Do you remember 36? We went our separate ways. You fought for Stalin, I fought for freedom. You believe in authority, I believe in myself. I'm a Molotov cocktail, you don't parry. Yo, baby, what's that confused look in your eyes? What I'm trying to say is that I burn down buildings while you sit on a shelf inside of them. You call the cops on the looters and pie throwers. They call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone. Watched in awe at the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. While those fireworks were exploding, I was burning that fucker and swinging my black flag high, eating the peanuts that the parties have tossed you in the backseat of your father's new Ford. You believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have faith in the elephant and jackass. And to you, solidarity's a four-letter word. We're all hypocrites, but you're a patriot. You thought I was only joking when I screamed kill Whitey at the top of my lungs, at the cops in their cars and the men in their suits. No, I won't take your hand and marry the state.
You're tuned in to episode 78 of the Circle Day radio show on Resonance FM, broadcasting on 104.4 FM in London, UK, and online at resonancefm.com.
You left me all alone, all alone.
The next interview is with Mike, one of the participants of the Haction Lab Network. We discuss Barn Camp 2013. A three-day Haction Lab weekend event of hacktivism, workshops, entertainment, politics, and fun, running from Friday the 7th to Sunday the 9th of June at the Highbury Farm in the Wye Valley, near the Welsh border in the UK. Barn Camp costs just £35, which includes food, catering to all dietary requirements, camping for up to 4 nights, the planned workshops, and the open space Barn Camp sessions. In the evenings, there will be indoor and fireside entertainment and plenty of time to meet and hang out with people in attendance and Highbury Farm dwellers. Barn Camp brings together a motley crew of activist technical projects such as Haction Lab, Bristol Wireless, and Floss Manuals. And this year's camp will be its 5th edition.
Mike, tell us about Barn Camp. What is it?
Hello there. Barn Camp is a 3-day skill sharing event. The setting is a farm on the top of a hill on the border with Wales, and we've got lots of workshops covering mostly sort of best use of technology and the sort of social impact of technology, as well as looking at different types of alternative technology.
You talk about on the website, on the Barn Camp website, it talks about a thing called hacktivism. That's kind of like a mash of hacking and activism.
Hacktivism is one of those words that now has got several meanings, but the meaning that we're using it, as you say, is hack and activism. Now, hack comes from the original meaning of the word sort of hacking, and that's in the sense of taking technology and adapting it for your own use and for your own ends, and doing that in not necessarily a way that you have to go and do lots of classes and go and study a degree in computer science, but you can just take what you need and learn the facts you need and put it together and do what you want with it. And then the activism is obviously linked to political or social activism. And so the two things are about taking technology and appropriating it to fit your political or social goals.
Okay. So how does hacktivism and Barn Camp come together?
Well, we're essentially doing that. We're getting people together who have worked in political or social activism or just general social projects that maybe have a technological background, maybe don't have a technological background, as well as people who are just technologists and not really directly involved in political activism, and bringing all those people together with a lot of resources, sticking them on top of a hill and seeing what we can come out of that. Now, whether that is soldering some things together in a certain way to achieve something that someone's looking for, but they want to do a little mobile sound system and they need some advice about that, or whether it's just coming up with better ideas for using the internet for political or social mm-hmm. means.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the location of the camp. The idea of doing tech in a field sounds really challenging, and I mean, surely it would be a yeah. lot easier to have a barn camp in your living room or in a social center indoors where there are electrical outlets and Wi-Fi. Now, what's the point of having this kind of thing outdoors?
Well, of course, it is called barn camp, so we need someone with a barn and someone who can camp, and you can't generally do that in the city very often. But no, the idea is really to present the challenge, because I think that you can take for granted the ease and availability of everything when you're in the city, because you have all the facilities, the shops are just down there, you've got your electricity, there's lots of Wi-Fi everywhere. One of the things that this came from was some of the mass mobilizations for anti-globalization and then following that, the environment movement over the last 10 or so years. And one of the things was often, you know, maybe you're summit hopping or something, you find yourself absolutely in the middle of nowhere, or even in a different city, and you haven't got those resources around you. So it's about trying to educate people on how to make a DIY event and start with having to be inventive and understand more about the infrastructure and what needs to be put together to make it happen. Which, of course, yes, it does. I mean, ideally, it does make it more difficult to it's more hard work to organise, because it's obviously up a hill on the Welsh border rather than just being in the community centre up the road, which would be a lot easier to do. I'd give you that. But I think that's the point, actually. The point of it is, and that's why it's a sort of DIY skills sharing event, it's to learn more about and get involved. And we sort of encourage people to come earlier and help put up a marquee, help organise, you know, the kitchen area and that sort of thing, so that everybody's involved in understanding that this infrastructure doesn't just appear from nowhere and they need to learn about it.
Definitely. There's a lot to be said for decontextualizing tools and taking them out of their usual environment and then learning how to use them or adapt them in another environment. So tell us about barn camp historically. This isn't the first barn camp that's happened.
No, this is actually the fifth barn camp. And we actually had a year off last year. So we started in 2008 and did four on a trot, had a rest last year, and then we're coming back this year. However, What I will add is barn camp is an event that's part of other events which are called Haction Labs in general. We've had about more than 10, probably 15, and a lot of the Haction Labs take place in the city, so this is our sort of rural outing. We started it did come out of a lot of the mass mobilizations that were going on, and a realization that there were very few people who I noticed with the mass mobilizations, there were very few people that actually had the core infrastructure and knowledge to put the site together and put the facilities together. And what would happen is, because of the situation at the time, and probably because there was a lot of police and a lot of hecticness and all that, although that they would try and be didactic about teaching other activists about how they put marquees up, there really wasn't enough time, in my opinion, to really learn that kind of stuff, because it was too busy. And so therefore we also felt that it was good to have a place where there wasn't that kind of pressure for people to get together and learn this stuff and also talk and socialize, because also in those large mobilizations and events like that, and the Stop G8 stuff that will be going on the week after barn camp, you know, it's often too hectic to have a decent conversation with people. And so what we're offering is getting all those people together and not only learning those skills, but a chance to sit around a campfire in the evening and just have a drink and chew the fat in a mellow manner.
Tell us about some of the workshops that are being planned for this year's barn camp, to give a taster of what people could potentially get involved
with. We've got people coming from an anonymous blogging platform called Network 23, which is built on the WordPress software. They're coming along along, and we may have a sort of larger session with them to look at ways of improving the site and ways of improving the networking and the community based around the site, and also to sort of discuss the difference between using corporate tools and non-corporate tools and the privacy elements involved in that. And obviously corporate control of the internet and privacy will be coming up in quite a few topics throughout the weekend. We've got someone coming to talk about building your own telephone system, so that's based on internet type mm-hmm. telephone systems, in a way sort of like Skype's the commercial end of this, but there's lots of open source stuff that enables small organizations or even big organizations and individuals to build their own telephone systems that would be that's suitable and free, and they can control it themselves. We'll be discussing alternative currency systems. So in Greece, for example, they're using some of the communities now are using their own currency systems, a little bit like the old LET system, but that's moved on, where it can now be done on the internet using credit tokens rather than paper chips. And so it's very interesting stuff. A group of people coming to talk about how to build your own solar panel, and we'll be soldering solar cells together and sticking them between bits of glass and hopefully making a few lights to show the way in the dark. We'll be having some completely off-grid stuff, so we're hoping to have forest school for adults that are coming to look at, you know, how to make a fire, campfire, and how to build a bivouac, and including how to make your own kazoo. We're also looking at aquaponics. Aquaponics is where you grow food with water, but you have fish in the water, so it's like growing food out of a fish tank. We're having a wild food walk that we've had a few years, which is foraging for food yourself in the woodland behind where Barn Camp is. And then we've got lots of other stuff to do with. We're looking at Civi CRM, which is a tax system for allowing people to manage their information online. I've run out of lots of stuff.
That sounds amazing. That's such a wonderful list of things. It could appeal to post-apocalyptic type people as well, because there's loads of survivalist stuff in there.
There is, yes.
You've been listening to the Circle Day radio show, and this episode features an interview with Mike, a participant of the activist hacking technical collective Haction Lab. We're going to listen to some spoken word and music recorded at the last Barn Camp event that happened in June 2011, and we'll be back with the rest of my interview with Mike after this.
Feel free to, like, you know, this is the extended version. It's a 12-inch. It'd be a strange world that we live in. Could be easy, could be misgiven. Take a firm grip, don't you give in. There's no life that's not worth living. Yeah. Out on the street where the rain falls down, and all the sheep they scurry around. You could be left with the concrete ground between the overpass and the underground. Sitting at home watching TV, don't believe everything that you see. The phosphorescent brainwashing machine leaves your head empty with no dreams to dream you away. So open the refrigerator, take a look inside. They're behind the petit pois, they can't hide. Take them out the box, put them under the grill. Cook for 5 minutes and you're in for a thrill there. Fish fingers, fish fingers, fish fingers, oh fish fingers. Fish fingers, fish fingers, fish fingers, oh fish fingers, yeah.
Right, the other day I made a Linux system and it didn't have an init process, and I was really sad, and because I just couldn't find the init process anywhere, And then at the same time, I was reading a book, and it was called Developing the Linux Kernel by Robert Love. And it had this beautiful line in it that said, all Unix processors are descendants of the init process, whose PID is 1. So I wrote this poem anyway in honour of that. So here we go. Our Father, who art in S-bin, in it is thy name. Thy PID is 1. Thy children run in user space as they do in kernel. Give us this day our daily RAM, and forgive us our interrupts, as we are nice to those who interrupt us. Lead us not into uncaught exception, and deliver us from sig kill. For thine is the system, and thou art the saviour, forever and ever, until we upgrade you. Thank you, good night.
It's about the guy who threw the shoe at George W. Bush. So free the shoe guy. Free, free, free the shoe guy. Justice for the bloke who threw a shoe at George W. Bush. George W.'s head. Free the shoe guy. Free, free, free the shoe guy. Should have given him a medal, but they threw his ass in prison instead. His name's Muntada Al-Saidi. Let's hope his release is speedy, cause he's a hero, yes, indeed, he's to at least half the human race. That George W. Bush can spend the rest of his life on a sofa. I think I did that smirking offer. A bit of good to have a tasseled loafer throwing at his face. So you know we gotta free the shoe guy. Free, free, free the shoe guy. Just for the bloke who threw a shoe at George W.'s head. Oh, free the shoe guy. Free, free, free the shoe guy. Just for the bloke who threw a shoe at George W.'s head. Yeah, right on. There's not much activism going on in Cornwall, cause everyone's on the beach. Witty blissed out to be pissed off and demonstrating on the streets. Yeah, we're just getting drunk, or smoking loads of skunk, or reading a book, or going for a walk. Yeah, the Cornish social justice movement is people reading Chomsky and listening to music. So while other people come down south in the summer for holidays and quiet, I find myself going up north in the summer for direct action and riots. So other people come down south in the summer for holidays and quiet, but I find myself going up north in the summer for direct action and riots. So we've got the Cornish nationalists who mostly debate about place names. We got a lot of people who rightly moan about the houses turning into second homes. But mostly we've got the sea and the rocks and the footpaths and the pubs and our jobs. And the newspaper tells us about a cow in the mire with no box to strike against, it's hard to light a fire. So while other people come down south in the summer for holidays and quiet, I find myself going up north in the summer for direct action and riots. Other people come down south in the summer for holidays and quiet, but I find myself going to the Wye Valley in the summer for farm camps and riots. Thanks.
You kind of touched upon the concepts of corporate versus non-corporate, free and not free, as in free as in freedom, not just price-wise free, as well as technologies that are potentially violate, well, sometimes they don't violate legally, but they're definitely violating our privacy and in taking information from us and farming us. That kind of ties into things that sometimes, especially politicized techies, kind of take for granted. But maybe for some listeners, could you go into a little bit about the technologies that you've just mentioned and how not really understanding how they work, how using technology can be dangerous for people, especially if they're taking action in a social justice sense.
It's not knowing technically in depth how things work. I think an overview of having a clear overview of technologies such as, you know, cellular phone technology and the internet, and knowing how much things can be monitored and logged, and quite how much information is possible to glean, and quite how much of a trail we leave when we use these technologies. I think that that's an important thing to be aware of. The main point of interest is who controls it and what they do with it. And a lot of the time, I think it's kind of innocuous, because if you take Facebook or WordPress.com or one of these sites that allow people to either do social networking or have their website, that's fine. You know, most people are doing innocuous things on there and sharing pictures of kittens or going on about something they're interested in. However, the problem is if you read their terms and conditions of those companies, neither of those companies are promising to uphold your political view, and will at a flick of a switch take your content down if they get a complaint, which can be quite difficult, because you might be having a campaign and might be, say, taking on some corporation or something like that, and you've spent ages building up visitors to your WordPress blog and putting content up there. Now, if that corporation make a legal complaint to WordPress aren't saying that they're in business to defend freedom of speech. Therefore, their lawyers will make a simple decision: we'll just take it down, because you're not paying for it. And WordPress aren't going to go to court and fight McDonald's or whoever it is to defend your freedom of speech. Mm. On the second thing is the more sort of sinister aspect of that is, obviously, if you were doing something and the authorities wanted to get hold of your data, then they have the powers to do that. And again, most of these companies, they're businesses, and they're not interested in keeping your data private or not giving it to the authorities, because that isn't what they're doing. So I think that's, for me, the most important thing. You could look for a more of a perfidy about this and say, okay, well, the CIA are mapping you or something like that. But I think it's a simpler thing, which is basically you've got a party who is holding your data, and they're interested in commercialism, and they're disinterested from your social or political mm-hmm. standpoint. And I think that's dangerous to do that, and it does mean that on one side you can lose your voice quite easily, and on another, and on the worst case, you can
lose your
freedom. Of course, I'm not saying, people would say don't use Facebook. I kind of agree with them. Why give your data free to this commercial corporation? But of course, if you're just connecting with old school friends and sharing pictures of whatever with them, of your holiday and stuff, I don't think you've got anything necessarily to worry about there. But I think if you need to consider who you're connecting with, who, what kind of trail you're leaving, and what you're saying on that medium. And there have been examples, especially with the riots in 2011, where people were sent to prison for saying things on Facebook. They didn't even, nothing actually happened, but they just said something, and it was utterly traceable, because you're completely traceable on it. They know exactly who you are and where you are.
Yeah, I know that you're saying that a tool like Facebook, not to pick on Facebook necessarily, but a tool like Facebook can be innocuous if you use it for specific things. But I'd counter that by maybe saying that the people who decide not to use it end up kind of sticking out as a result, as well as the technology can still be used against you. For example, the facial recognition technologies that are associated with various social networking tools. Again, what you were just saying about the riots in 2011, that technology and the CCTV footage is in part what helped to incarcerate or criminalize a lot of people involved.
Absolutely.
So absolutely. In some ways, it feels like no matter what you do, you're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, an anecdote to that, which I thought was really scary the other day. I mean, at a local film screening, we watched a couple of films about the Arab Spring, and the second one we watched was called Bahrain Shouting in the Dark, and it's about the sort of failed uprising in Bahrain and the repression that followed. But one of the striking things about that was the government, the Bahraini government, put up a Facebook page where they published photos of people that they'd seen in the demonstrations and encouraged people to tag them, to tag their friends that they'd seen in the demonstration. And then they were subsequently arrested after they'd been identified. And secondly, the other thing about that was there was some young girl that had stood on the stage and said some political stuff against the government. The government put a Facebook page up that specifically targeted her. And lots of people were saying all sorts of outrageous things about, you know, how she should be tortured, and other people were liking it. Facebook didn't take that page down. And so, which is staggering, they didn't take it down. I mean, I don't know what commercial benefit they have out of doing that kind of thing, really. I guess they want to stay in Bahrain, really, don't they? But I think the fact they'd used it, and they were using it exactly for that, as a tagging tool for people to identify their friends and relations, and I think that's extremely dangerous. I hate photo tag. I don't know why people do it. Why is it that you want to identify everyone? Who do you work for?
I think just like, not to go into it too much, but I think if you don't see it in that kind, in a politicized sense, and you just see it's an easy way of notifying people that you've just put a picture up of them.
That's
for people,
right.
You know, I think that the mentality of if I haven't done anything wrong, I have nothing to hide thing is very pervasive, as opposed to realizing that it's just a matter of time before you end up being criminalized too for doing what you do just day to day.
I think I wanted to add, because you may not be doing anything wrong and you may never do anything wrong. The problem is you have to be careful, because governments change and laws change, and so it's quite possible to end up doing something wrong in the future that you didn't know. And once you've discovered that what you're doing is wrong, and you've just left a trail connected to all the other people you know and proof of the fact you've been doing it, it's too late. So I just think people should be careful, not paranoid, but careful.
Like we're living in a Philip K. Dick novel or something.
It is.
You've been listening to episode 78 of the Circle Day radio show on Resonance FM, featuring an interview with Mike, one of the participants of the Haction Lab network. For more information on Haction Lab, go to hactionlab.org. That's HACKTIONLAB.org, which will have information on activists' use of technology, including the Tech Tools for Activists website and booklet, as well as information on the upcoming Barn Camp. To find out more, check out barncamp.org.uk. It contains all the relevant information you'll need to get yourself there, or even to get involved before you get there. It's recommended to book a place in advance if you do want to attend Barn Camp 2013, as places are limited, and knowing numbers well in advance helps with the planning. To hear more thoughts on state seizure of corporately owned blogging sites, why not check out the Dissident Island show from November 19, 2010, which features a piece on the Fitwatch blog takedown by the UK authorities, with thoughts from Fitwatcher Emily and techies from Plenty Fact and London Indie Media. You can also find out more about previous Barn Camps by listening to recordings done by Dissident Island at Barn Camp 2010 and Barn Camp 2011. I'm Chickpea, and thanks for tuning in. I'll be back at the end of next month with another segment of the Circle Day radio show for Resonance FM. Looters and pythors, they call it class war, I call it co-conspirators. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left me all alone, all alone. Watched in awe at the red, white, and blue on the 4th of July. While those fireworks were exploding, I was burning that fucker and swinging my black flag high, eating the peanuts that the parties have tossed you. In the backseat of your father's new Ford, you believe in the ballot, you believe in reform, you have faith in the elephant and jackass. And to you, solidarity's a four-letter word, we're all hypocrites, but you're a patriot. You thought I was only joking when I screamed kill Whitey at the top of my lungs, at the cops in their cars and the men in their suits. No, I won't take your hand and marry the state.
Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a spineless liberal. We marched together for the 8-hour days and held hands in the streets of Seattle. But when it came time to throw bricks through that Starbucks window, you left